Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. The Lord is truly risen. Alleluia. Dear brothers and sisters, on this Sunday, we celebrate the Church's most solemn liturgy, Easter Sunday of the Resurrection of the Lord. Today we celebrate a most important and central truth or mystery of our faith, that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, though having suffered and really did die and was buried, on the third day, really and truly rose from the dead and to die no longer. In the Creed, we profess and we renew our faith in this mystery when we pray the words that Christ rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Christ's resurrection is his greatest miracle, the supreme proof of his identity as he claimed as Lord, God, Messiah, Redeemer, Savior, and King. It was because of the resurrection that Christ did not appear as just another great personage on the stage of human history and who would yet eventually disappear and be forgotten, as many great personages have. Rather, the resurrection has made Christ the permanent and central figure of all of human history, for he was the only one capable of facing mankind's great enemy, death, and was victorious over it. If it were not for Christ's resurrection, his church would not only have long ago disappeared, but it would never have even begun. No resurrection, no church, no Christianity, no Christians. We ourselves as Christians would not be here if it weren't for the reality of Christ's resurrection. So Christ's resurrection was so central to the Christian faith, even from the very beginnings, that St. Paul could say, if Christ has not been raised, then empty too is our preaching, and empty too is your faith. But as it is, the apostle assures us, now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. As we know, the resurrection of Christ did not concern himself only, but it concerns each and every one of us. Again, in the Creed, we pray, we profess, I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United by faith to Christ, we do indeed begin to share in the resurrection of Christ's victory, his glory. We do so in particular when we believe in him and when we live in the state of grace, wherein God's very life is within us, a great mystery. Grace has been defined as the seed of eternal life, and therefore it's so important that we always strive to live in the state of sanctifying grace and cultivate the life of grace day by day, something we can do continuously, for God's life within us can continually grow, and that indeed is what our Lord intends for us. We believe in Jesus' words to Martha just before he raised her brother Lazarus from the dead, when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. This is what faith achieves for us, your faith in our Lord, in all that he taught, in all that he did, faith in his resurrection. Our faith in Christ, however, needs to be a living faith, not a faith that we wear on our arms, as it were, from time to time, but a faith that affects our entire life and every moment of our existence, a living faith. In today's second reading from Colossians chapter 3, St. Paul reminds us, therefore, of this faith in Christ risen. He says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." In other words, the resurrection involves not only our future life, however distant that might be, but our earthly life, our life lived right here and right now. Our life with the risen Lord begins now. The power of his resurrection takes effect now within us. The life of risen glory with him begins now. Therefore, we seek what is above. We think of what is above. We live for that which is above. Heaven, eternal life, God, the source of all our happiness. We need examples of faith, though, heroes and heroines of faith to inspire us, to encourage us to live a life of faith. This is so necessary for us, especially in a day and age when faith in our Lord, faith in Christ, and all that he taught is challenged by the secular world. And we feel at times bombarded by messages which are contrary to our faith in Christ. We need help. We need examples to follow. And these are the saints, all men and women of great faith, with living faith, to the very end, even if it had cost them great sacrifices and perhaps even their lives, as is evident still in our own day, when people lay down their life for Christ, for their faith in him. Even as we speak, there are people who suffer and die for the Lord, hopeful that they too will share in his glorious resurrection. The greatest example of faith, however, you all know very well. The greatest example of faith in Christ and his resurrection was none other than Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, the first believer. While other disciples sought his body in the tomb, the body of Christ, Mary knew by faith that the tomb would be empty, that her son would rise from the dead on the third day, just as he had said many times. Her faith was strong. It is a tradition that before appearing to Mary Magdalene, then the other apostles and disciples of the Lord, Jesus first appeared to his own Blessed Mother to reward her for her perfect and steadfast faith, and also to share with her that great joy in his victory over sin and death. a victory in which she herself contributed in a unique way, particularly as she stood with rock-solid faith at the foot of the cross, trusting, believing, having great faith in her Son, uniting her own sorrows and sacrifices with his for the life of the world. Once again, the words of her cousin Elizabeth would be realized in her fidelity to her Son, in her great faith. Those words of Elizabeth were, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Blessed is Mary because she believed, she always believed, when others did not." So Mary's life of faith contributed in a unique way to Christ's work, so much so that St. Irenaeus could say, "With the Virgin Eve bound through her disbelief, Mary loosened by her faith." Mary, undoer of knots, beautiful devotion. A tender and loving devotion towards Mary will be an invaluable help to us as we strive to live our own pilgrimage of faith during this earthly life, as we struggle to overcome every temptation against the faith, every influence upon us, whether within or without, which seeks to weaken our faith in Christ and his resurrection. As mother of faith, Mary will make our faith in Christ stronger, just as she did with the apostles and the other disciples in the early church. She was the model of faith for them. She was a mother of faith for them. And therefore, she is mother of the church, mother of all Christians. She'll help us to grow stronger in faith day by day, until one day our faith will be no more. We will need faith no more. That is when our faith will turn into direct vision of God, to see God face to face. So faith will give way to vision, direct vision of God, direct vision of Christ and his glory in his heavenly kingdom, and this to be enjoyed for all eternity. In the meanwhile, we have, as Saint Therese of Lisieux said so beautifully, we have only this life to live by faith. We have only this life to live by faith, a faith which is so pleasing to our Lord, a faith which is meritorious, a faith which will merit for us a crown of everlasting glory. In the meanwhile, too, Our Lady will always lead us to her Son, now and always present with us in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle, and in a few moments on our altar. For the Eucharist is, as the saints say, the medicine of immortality, that we might be united with him in holy communion. This is what Our Lady desires and urges us to unite ourselves always, worthily, lovingly, devoutly, frequently, with her divine Son in holy communion. Mindful of his own promise to us, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." Dear brothers and sisters, on this Easter Sunday and during this Easter octave, which ends next Sunday with a Divine Mercy Sunday, great feast we look forward to celebrating, May this Easter octave and all the 50 days of the Easter season be one of great graces and blessings, great joy and peace to you and to all your loved ones. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.